You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Jeff Simmons is the leader of the Opportunities Party. That's the political party founded by Gareth Morgan before the last election that failed to win a seat in Parliament. This is despite a strongly fought election campaign that did ultimately see them end up with 2.4% of the party vote. I sat down with Jeff earlier this morning in the BFM studio, and here's our chat.
We're obviously still quite a way out from the election, so I was wondering, why am I sitting here talking to you?
Well, you asked me to come in, Stuart. No, I mean, yes, the election is out in 2020, but I think we discovered back in 2017, you know, with, I mean, the Opportunities Party started 10 months before the general election, and, you know, it was really sprinting from a standing start. And, you know, what we are trying to do this time is go into 2020 with, you know, with that core support that we have ignited, ready to go. So, you know, if we're polling 2 or 3% at the start of, you know, March 2020, then at the beginning of the year, next year, then, you know, we're not going to have all these conversations about will we get to the 5% threshold? Is it a wasted vote? And that's really what was the, you know, the big barrier for us in 2017, because we had probably more support than the 5% threshold. Certainly, that's what our surveys told us. But people were worried about the wasted vote, so it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
So, is the first thing you're aiming for to get to that 2-3% in February next year? Is that the first thing that you're aiming for?
That's the goal for this year, absolutely, is to recoup the support that we had in the 2020 election. So we got 2.5% in the 2020 election, and we've got the same policies now. So we see no reason why we can't be back in that sort of 2-3% range by the end of this year.
A lot of people listening to this interview on 95BFM will be young people.
Yeah.
Some of them will be first-time voters. Is the Opportunities Party a party for young people?
Oh, look, absolutely. You know, we are the party for the future. We're the party that's looking 15, 20 years ahead and trying to deal with all the things that are coming, you know, housing, which is, you know, which goes hand in hand with our tax system and the housing supply systems. Environmental issues, you know, younger people have been dealt a complete hospital pass by older generations on all of these issues. And we're also not preparing for the economy of tomorrow. You know, we younger people know this stuff because they're already in the gig economy, but, you know, older baby boomers still have careers for life. And so we need to shift the way our government and economy works together so that we're prepared for the gig economy.
A lot of Labour and Green voters, I'm sure, think that they're voting for a progressive party. So
yeah,
why give their vote to a minor party who is also claiming that they're so forward-thinking?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a few differences there. I mean, we're not left or right. We're based on what works. So there's plenty of young people who care about the economy, who care about jobs, who want to start businesses in the future. And so, you know, we don't come with a left wing ideology, you know, holding, you know, which might cramp people's style. And if you're interested in the economy or having a high paying job or starting your own business in the future, we don't come with that sort of baggage that the left comes with. We're just basically focused on what works, you know, what actually is going to work for an economy in 10 or 15 years time, looking at those issues coming forward. And we think a lot of people actually are sick of this tribalism, you know, this kind of petty tribalism that we have between right and left. It's really boring and quite exhausting. You know, we've actually got some massive issues. Like I said, housing, the environment, the future economy, those things are huge. And we're arguing over petty stuff, like should kids take a day off school to,
yeah,
you know.
Which is something we're talking about on the show today,
exactly,
as well.
Exactly, exactly. Or a capital gains tax, which is such, I'm sorry, Labour and Green supporters out there, but a capital gains tax, excluding the family home, is just tinkering around the edges. And that's what Labour and National have done for decades now. They've just fiddled around the edges. Labour talks a big game, but they don't really do much. National, you know, is of course the party of not doing much. frankly, whether you support Labour or National, you know, you're not getting much difference when those parties are actually in power. let's actually do some stuff that's going to work, that's going to, you know, get us ready for these big issues that are coming.
I'm going to use a word that you mentioned in that answer, which is the word baggage. And I want to know how it is going to be going into an election following on from having Gareth Morgan as your leader. I mean, what's it like stepping into that? Do you think that a lot of your party message was lost because of your leader?
Yeah, I mean, Gareth is a divisive personality for sure. And that worked for us in some respects and didn't work for us in others. I think that's fair to say. We wouldn't have got to where we got to without, you know, without Gareth out the front, you know, letting people know that we existed. And you know, yes, of course, at times that turned people off at the same time. So, you know, grateful for Gareth for having, you know, started the party and given us that momentum. And yeah, we're going to, you know, we are going to be doing things differently in the 2020 election. It's much more about, you know, having a corridor. Let's actually talk about these big issues and be willing to you know have discussions with people. So certainly the way we're going to do things will be different than back in 2017. But you know Gareth's ideas, are still very much the core of the party.
So how do you differ as a leader, do you think?
Well, style. I'm younger and so you know youth adjacent, if that's, you know, that's the cool term to be using these days. So yeah, the way I operate is very different from Gareth in terms of, you know, culturally. So you know, there was a lot of talk during the election about actually focusing on the policies rather than the personality, and that's very much what I'll be doing. Yeah.
Sometimes these minor parties come along and they have their sort of moment in the light and then they fade away. How do you keep your party relevant? How do you think you can still try and push for actually getting into Parliament next election?
So the crucial difference between the Opportunities Party and other parties, you know, small parties that have come and gone, is our volunteer base, our membership base, and the machinery that comes along with that. You know, we have a very strong volunteer base and membership base, which, you know, really are the life and the soul of the party and are keeping us afloat, you know, literally, both, you know, financially and non-financially, in terms of doing all the work, all the mahi that a political party needs to do. So that's absolutely core to us, and we're looking to build that going forward, to build that membership base and volunteer base, because that is what's going to provide, you know, continuity for a long term, you know, for a long running movement. I mean, that's really what we're talking about having here is a movement. So it is a transition from you know, something started by one person and pushed really hard by one person through to a movement, and we're just lucky that there were enough people who were really on board with what Gareth was saying that they wanted to keep this going. And that's the only reason I'm here, is because when Gareth said he was going to shut the party down, the members, you know, said, oh, hang on, we're not having that.
What issues do you think are going to dominate the election cycle?
I think we're already seeing, of course, tax is going to be a big part of that, tax and housing, and you know, of course, National opposing a capital gains tax, not clear what Labor's going to do or New Zealand First in that respect. But if they don't support a capital gains tax, or even if they do, you know, everyone's admitted that it's not really going to do much for housing affordability, because you're excluding the family homes, which is the vast majority of our housing stock, right? So regardless of what Labor's position is, plus seeing what we're seeing with KiwiBuild, there's real big questions about housing affordability going forward. You know, this government, you know, came in talking a good game and is unlikely to deliver it. So really, you know, the best Labor can sell is that they're slightly better than how crap National was, and that's not really much of an aspirational vision. So we think there's a massive opportunity there around the fairness of our tax system and around housing affordability, and the environment. I mean, I think you know, there has been some progress on the zero carbon bill, which is making a plan to do something about climate change, but nothing's actually happened yet. You know, this plan, hopefully by the next election, we'll have a plan about what we're going to do with climate change. That's better than what National had, but we still haven't done anything. And this is a really urgent issue. So I do think those environmental issues will still be big next time around as well.
So thinking a year and a half or so ahead, you're in Parliament, you've got over 5%. If you're not a left or right party, I mean, who are your friends? Where do you sit in a Parliament, in a government?
Well, on the crossbenches in the middle, and willing to work with anyone who has good ideas, you know. And surely that's what surely that's what Parliament should be about. Actually, should be about good ideas rather than camps and teams and colours and rah rah. So we'll be willing to work with anyone who is you know, willing to progress the ideas that we are putting forward. And you know, who knows what direction that would take us in. But when you look at Winston Peters, what he has achieved in this term, I mean, you know, it really shows the power of that you know, kingmaker position. And what we're looking to do is to use Winston's tactics, but instead of, you know, trying to push the agenda of old people and taking everything back to the 1970s, which is basically his platform, yeah, let's actually prepare for the 21st century and focus on the big issues going forward, because that's what's going to help young people. They're the ones having to inherit this world that we're leaving behind.
Finally, what would be your kind of slogan, your one sentence way to try and win some people over? Because I seem to have a lot of discussions with people where I'll talk about your party's policies and people will be really engaged, but then I say that it's an opportunities party policy and people will go, it's that wasted vote thing, I think. They go, well, why would I vote for them? So how do you win people over?
I mean, in terms of particularly young people, you know, we're looking to give young people hope. A lot of young people have switched off politics, and frankly, I don't blame them. Mm. Partly because of that bullshit left and right fighting thing, and partly because no one ever does anything. You know, no one's actually dealing with the issues that young people are losing sleep over, and they are. You know, this is part of the driver of these mental health problems we've got. People are worried that they're actually going to have a livable planet in 20 or 30 years. What we're trying to do is offer real hope, you know, offer some ideas that will actually make a difference and offer young people real hope.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.